Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I often try to start with something humorous. I don't have anything humorous today, and about half the time I try, it doesn't work anyway, so we'll just dispense with that. But I do have something on my mind. There is emerging in our culture a new and odd thing. It's so new that I think I'm going to have to coin a name to properly describe it. And it is sort of an evangelical atheism. It claims that religion, specifically Christian faith, is what is fracturing America. That's a quote. The movement has produced a film that was well reviewed last year by the New York Times, and the film is entitled The God Who Wasn't There. And the promo for it says, "It does to religion what Bowling for Columbine did to the gun culture and Super Size Me did to fast food." With sarcasm and biting humor, it seeks to reduce Jesus to a meaningless legend and myth, seeks to ridicule the very idea of God. The promo ends with the phrase, "Hold on to your faith. It's in for a bumpy ride." This film underlines a growing cultural bias which says pretty explicitly, if you are smart, then you will agree that there is no God. On the other hand, we have another movement which is sort of generalized spirituality, which is not much better. Bishop Will Willimon, using his own wry humor, pointed out that the idea that all religions are essentially the same and merely a matter of personal opinion, he points out, is both intellectually dishonest and ultimately intolerant. With an ironic smile, Willimon suggests, this is just a way of saying religion is wonderful as long as we all first agree that it doesn't mean anything. And so I have to ask, is it really a good thing to underplay the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ? Is it really okay to stop at the surface and say, you have this belief, whatever it is, and I have Jesus, at least we both have something? Does the Jesus of Scripture allow such bland, generalized, wishy-washy equalization of anything close to a faith? Where the teachings about God differ so radically as to point to a different sort of God, how can we honestly pretend that the religions are the same? Yes, with an ironic smile, Willimon suggests, this is merely a way of saying religion is wonderful as long as we first all agree that it doesn't mean anything. Here in this chapter, John 6:35, we have Jesus recorded as having said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." And then on into verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Jesus simply would not stay and the traditional Judaism of his day. Nor will Jesus stay within the political correctness of our day. Jesus makes exclusive claims in the Gospels. Jesus makes claims about himself and makes claims upon us as his followers. Jesus even makes claims here for those who would be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. How rude that sounds to our sensitized ears. If you want to know about God, Jesus says, come to me. Who does Jesus think he is? I think he thinks he is God in flesh. No mere teacher, no mere moral philosopher, no manufactured movement maker dreamed up by a first century committee in order to get themselves persecuted and run out of the synagogue. I encourage digging deep into your faith. There is too much superficial faith, and there is also too much superficial anti-faith. Neither one has much substance. Over the years, I have noticed a tendency. Now, this is just a tendency. It's not always true. But a lot of older folks have a bias about the Christian faith, and the bias sort of looks like this. It is all true, and you should not dig too deep. Now, a lot of younger folks are absorbed in the cultural bias, and they say Jesus and God and religion really doesn't matter, so there's no need to dig too deep. Do you see that? Smug faith and smug anti-faith both tend to be superficial. Different bias, same result. Very few people are digging very deeply, and no one seems to be really yearning to get at the bottom of who Jesus is. If He is who He says He is, then no one else matters more. You want to see God the Father? Philip asked in John 14, you want to see God the Father? Jesus says, here I am. And elsewhere in John, the Father and I are one. Jesus didn't gain earthly treasure or offer it an earthly might and empower and attract followers in that way, but He did claim divine authority and power over sin and death. He did not claim power and raise an army, even though the Messiah in Jewish tradition at that time was expected to have an army and be powerful in that way, but He didn't. You know, if you've studied Islam, that Muhammad is remembered as a general, a warlord, a conqueror, and a prophet. And it's easy to see followers drawn to power and might and success, but Jesus fought no battles, made no treaties, conquered no cities, held no swords. Jesus was not the kind of hero that legends are written about. Not the kind of man who is even remembered unless something happened. Something like a resurrection. Something which gave His ignorant ragtag followers hope that God was indeed in Christ making peace by the blood of His cross. How did He make peace by the blood of His cross? I don't know. The gospel is not logic-based, not power-based, not battle-tested, not useful for tyrants. When dug to its roots, the gospel undercuts tyrants at every turn, though some people in a superficial way say that it's used by governments to keep people down. That is not true. When dug to its roots, the gospel undercuts tyrants at every turn. It uplifts the value of individuals and draws boundaries around the way we are to treat each other. Each precious unto God, each offered grace and life eternal, none worthless, none hopeless. In today's gospel reading, the people in the crowd kept trying to make Jesus ordinary. If you read it again, you'll see that. They were trying to tie Him down and to root Him in the past, saying things like, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? I mean, isn't this Joseph's boy? Joseph was never anything special. How can his son be so special? Haven't we had his father and mother among us all this time? Where did he get this teaching? How can he say he came down from heaven? How can he give himself for us to feed upon? What is he talking about? I am the bread of life down from heaven. Isn't he just Joseph and Mary's boy? They then, like many now, wanted to tie him down and tie him to the past. But the past cannot keep Jesus, cannot hold him. Not even sin and death can hold him. People do try to bring Jesus down a notch or three, try to make him just another teacher, just another legend, just another wisdom tradition, and some are even trying to say, as the movie I mentioned, that he never really existed. And a lot of people who do not do their own homework, but merely adopt the fashionable thinking of others, will adopt this and think that they thought it. I have met a few recent college grads who have adopted this fashionable atheism. They will adopt that there never was a Jesus, just a legend and a myth, and they'll adopt that thought and not even remember that it was handed to them. There was no individual research or digging on their own. This is already happening. I encourage digging among the old and the young, among those who think that it's already settled and among those who think there is nothing to settle. it's worth the dig. Who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? For every person of faith, that is the question. The answer to who He is determines how you will treat what He says. As a mere teacher, you can take or leave what He says. Or maybe take some of the things that Jesus says and some of the things from other teachers. But if Jesus is somehow special, the most special ever born, if He is in fact God in flesh, the incarnate one, then He alone can teach us as God the Father wishes us to be taught. Certainly, some words of wisdom will show up in other teachings, but only He has the words of life and the life itself within Him. In the first order and to the nth degree, life without diminution, without dilution, or adulterated by other desires for power and armies and gold and wealth and might, as otherworldly teachers tend to do. And there's a thought there all by itself. Jesus did not accumulate these things in any way, shape, or form, and did not attempt to accumulate these things in any way, shape, or form. That's a tremendous point of difference all by itself. No armies, no gold, no power. Each of us have heard the stories of Jesus, and we've all built up sort of a bit of a legend of our own making of what Jesus is and who He is and what He did in our heads. And that also is trying to tie Jesus to the past, our past, and nail Him down. The resurrection teaches us that Jesus will not stay nailed down. The legend we create in our heads is often intertwined with the smell of our church and the color of the carpet and the dusty books in the library and the particular preacher's odd habits and mispronunciations. We wrap Jesus' story all in those things. But Jesus does not belong to one old preacher or to one Sunday school class or to one day of the week. Jesus, if He is the Father and if He is the Spirit as well, is here and there and with us and above us and our enemies all at the same time. Jesus is not tied down. He is above category and above definition and beyond legend and myth and other teachers. What else did He mean when He said, "When you have seen Me, you have seen the Father"? And the Father and I are one. And when Philip said, "Show us the Father," he said, "Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you do not know Me?" Jesus is not co-equal with other teachers. This is not the gospel claim. Or other legends. Jesus is co-equal with God alone. It is an audacious claim. An audacious claim. But it is the claim of the gospel. Jesus won't allow Himself to become mere legend of your making or anyone else's. He is not tied to the past. He is not tied to politicians and their ever-present desire for power like Pontius Pilate or King Herod or George Bush or Barack Obama. Not tied to parents or city or state or nation. Not even tied to the temple in Jerusalem. You know, the temple was the symbol of all power and of Israel's permanence and of the very residence of God where the Holy of Holies was located. Of the temple, Jesus said, it will all fall down. Not one stone will be left upon another. It doesn't matter, Jesus continued to say. The kingdom of God does not need the temple. He was shockingly anti-tradition. He was considered by others to be a blasphemer in His day. He taught that salvation and healing and wholeness in God, these things matter. The kingdom of God and grace and forgiveness and a love that goes all the way to the cross, that matters. But many, many other things did not matter to Jesus. The past, His parents, dusty books, race, He said, doesn't matter when He made the Samaritan the hero of His story in Luke. How many times someone is married, it didn't matter when the woman at the well and that interchange with Jesus. Patriotism, in a way, does not matter because Zacchaeus was a tax collector and a traitor to his nation, and yet he became a follower of Jesus. Education did not matter. because the illiterate fishermen became his disciples. Rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, poor man, Lazarus, beggar man, blind Bartimaeus, and thief. All followers of Jesus, the thief on the cross. Right beside Jesus, who believed all that this text implies and was promised eternal life for so doing, in spite of his life of crime. When you dig deep, you will find a troublesome Jesus. This Jesus not only breaks down the tradition of all that came before, he breaks down most of what has come since. The kingdom continues to be just ahead of us, never settled and never behind us. It is coming in, but not yet fully here. With Jesus out front, he is never, ever, ever behind in the dusty past. Jesus is out front of the coming kingdom. Our job is to follow and keep up. Legends are always things of the past. Legends are built on historic deeds of the past. And so Jesus is not a legend. Jesus is still leading, still active, still saving, still changing hearts, still forgiving, and still giving hope. Still challenging earthly power and earthly wealth and earthly wisdom. Jesus is still new every day, never nailed down and done with. For bread, to speak to the symbol that Jesus used, for bread to do us any good, we have to eat it. For bread to do us any good, give us any nutrition, we have to consume it. Thinking about bread won't help. We have to take it in. Jesus as the bread of heaven, a mere thinking about Jesus won't help. There is a built-in hunger for meaning, a spiritual hunger for meaning and belonging, which Jesus alone can satisfy. And he said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. His hunger will be filled. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Her thirst for meaning will be filled. Many of you know, this is one of my favorite quotes, Blaise Pascal, who was a scientist, a mathematician, a philosopher, a professor, and also a bit of a theologian. Blaise Pascal said this, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, and it can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God made known through Jesus Christ. A God-shaped vacuum. And we try this, and we try this, and we try the other. And we find all of these things we try to disappoint. He says it can only be filled, this spiritual vacuum, this hunger, by God made known through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the God who always was, always is, and always will be. In Him, we have seen the Father. We have glimpsed what we in our small minds are able to comprehend of God the Father. In Him, we have hope in life, in death, and in life eternal. So don't leave Jesus somewhere in the dusty past, in the pages of an old Sunday school book. And don't leave him certainly rejected in the dustbin of history. Jesus is out front. Jesus is still leading God's incoming kingdom out front. Let us follow. And may God, through His Spirit, give us direction and wisdom and courage to discern where Jesus is leading us now and to follow.